Hello again and welcome to Coice Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where as always, the focus is on connecting business with grassroots sports and charities, both in the UK and indeed throughout the world. This is Tony Rice, and it's my pleasure now to introduce you to my colleague Dave Woolridge, who earlier caught up with Tariq Kasim, based in Singapore, for Coach.
So hi, I'm Tariq Kasim. I'm the co-founder and the CEO of Coach Hub, based in Singapore. Coach is an edutainment or sport tech platform, which we also call it. It has a one-of-a-kind streaming platform where academies and clubs can put up their content. And also we have an all-in-one platform to help academies manage their programs. Now, how this all came about is my son, he plays for a very well-known international academy here in Singapore. He plays for the under-10s. And it is then, and constantly interacting with the coaches, that we found that there is a niche for this type of a platform in the sports industry.
I suppose as well, with it being an online format, it makes kind of analytics when developing players more accessible to academies.
100%. And I think that's the biggie as well, because end of the day, look, we are in the new normal now, unfortunately, due to the pandemic. And the kids are at home, some are under lockdown, it opens up and it closes without any notice. So having a platform like this, one is helps keep the kids engaged. And like you correctly said, it also, helps us with analytics and maintaining the data of these kids.
So let's wind it back then. Let's talk about the nitty gritty of Coach and what it actually involves in the system. So obviously coaching routines, but also can coaches kind of personalize it for their academies? I mean, talk us through some of the features.
Yes, so it is what we call an enterprise SaaS platform, software as a service platform. So all academies can subscribe to our platform and they can, customize it to exactly their needs. So we have two parts of the platform. One is a remote streaming service, like I said before. It's right up there. It's comparable to some of the top streaming servers in the globe. So coaches can, put up their training content, the documentation, and the players can log in and view all the relevant training content, do assessments, and also upload content of themselves, which could be remotely viewed by the coaches and other players within the team. In addition to that, like I said, we have an all-in-one mobile application, which helps, for example, the coaches to schedule matches, assign the teams to the relevant matches. The players can download the mobile application. They can, view the schedule of the matches. The coaches can, take attendance. And most importantly, and this is something that there is potentially a huge gap in the market, David, is what we call the digital resume of a player. It's, using our platform, you can save data of every player, how many matches he or she played, the minutes he or she played in every match, the amount of passes, the goals, the red cards, yellow cards, everything. So from the time a player starts using our platform till potentially he or she is ready to, go to the next level to be signed up by a professional academy or club, you have everything, all data points in the system.
That's hugely interesting. That's huge. That is something that definitely is a niche for, and I suppose what you're doing with Coach is what those kind of digital CVs for players on a kind of professional level is being filtered down to where football or sports all starts, which is that grassroots level.
You're correct, and to be honest, I think grassroots is also a niche, and that has been one sector which has been ignored by a lot of platforms similar to ours. And if you look at it, I mean, every great player who is out there, whether it's soccer or, any sport, has an interesting story to say, to tell when it comes to, how they started off sports. And grassroots, end of the day, play a vital role in the community, right? And it, brings communities together, and most importantly, it helps develop kids' sporting talents. Getting a platform to grassroots and, you know, capturing that data, which is very rich from the time a player is at such a young age, I think that's huge.
So who uses Coach as a format already? Who are the clients that are already taking on board this program?
We have clients, David. So we just launched in January this year. And I'm very proud to say that over the last, let's say, 5 months, we have academies all the way from Australia to the UK, Netherlands, and US, Canada, and Bermuda using us. So we have gone into 9 countries within the last 5 months. And some of the academies using us is there's an academy called the Orange Soccer in the UK. We have International Sports Revolution based in the Netherlands. We have Australasia Soccer Academy in Sydney, Australia. LB Soccer Academy in Bermuda. And most recently, we had one of the biggest soccer academies in Singapore called the F17 Academy, who signed up to us as well.
Is that a big achievement for you then, the kind of barnstorming start you've had to launching Coach, and how many people are taking on board this amazing software that you've made?
Most definitely, David. And if you'd have noticed, most of the academies I said were all soccer. But at the same time, we are a platform that caters to any sports. The opportunity is tremendous. And I think given that, you know, we have had an uptake of academies in 9 countries in 5 months, I think that's great. Given that we are brand new, we are the new kids in the block. And talking about other sports, we have the Impact Youth Foundation, which is a basketball club in Ghana, which just signed up as well. So we are slowly going into other sports too.
Well, I was going to ask about other sports, funnily enough, as well. That, I mean, what other sports do you envision this working for? Mostly team-based, or could it be even used in athletics, for example?
Anything, David, anything. It predominantly teams. It works well with teams, but we are coming up very soon with a feature that allows one-to-one coaching as well. And because we see a huge market, like you correctly said, when it comes to say athletics, badminton, tennis, any sport, we have architected the platform as such.
And I suppose as well, the format kind of allows for coaches to work with players on certain pinpointed areas for that one player within the whole team.
Correct. We have what we call a gamification module. Where, for example, a coach can load up a video, and then players can watch the video and input their own statistics based on what they tried at home or out on a field. That allows the coach, again, like I said, to collect that rich data about the individual players and have structured training for the individuals.
For the coach that is, I suppose, scared of new technologies and is reluctant to take on board formats like this, what would you say to them to convince them to at least try using Coach?
Very good question. I have been in the digital industry for the last 2 decades, David. And I think what we have done is we have gone through a lot of pains in making sure that our platform is user-friendly, because we do appreciate that it will be coaches and players who will be predominantly using the platform. So we have actually developed something called Admin Without an Admin, where it helps coaches to administer the platform without going through the hassle of, administration of other platforms. You do not need to be specialized in software. It's very, very easy, intuitive, and point and click. And, there are a lot of academies who are currently using us. They have said one thing is that it's so extremely easy to use. And we don't have a user guide for our platform, which goes to show that how intuitive it is. So, yeah, they should give it a try.
Wow, that's huge. That is impressive. No user guide, no endless instructions. Is there a way for people to almost maybe try out a demo, for example, of the product?
Yes, we do have a demo up and running, and anyone who is interested, we'd be more than happy to get them set up and give it a try.
Well, Tariq, I mean, the format sounds absolutely incredible, the software that you produce, and I suppose because it's aiming towards those grassroots academies of all types of sports, that's what made you become an elite champion with Koi Sports, because you share that passion.
Thank you. And also, I mean, one of our major KPIs is that we want almost every grassroots to use a platform like ours, because that will help, it'll help coaching of the Generation Z, as we call it, to get their use platforms like us. It helps, and also, David, it helps grassroots to engage and create new revenue streams as well. It allows them to reach beyond their locality, because at the moment, academies could be, restricted to their locality or to the availability of a ground or a field to practice at. But, a platform like this allows them to reach out to more than that and transcend boundaries.
And I suppose as well, with a format like this, it allows the encouragement of the player to maybe coach at home through instructions that have been passed to them through the coach format.
100%. That's the beauty of it. And like I said, unfortunately, due to the pandemic, I mean, there are lots of players who are stuck at home, who are not able to go out and train on the field. So a platform like this, let's be honest, it's not as ideal as being out on the field and, training with your team. It still helps us to, keep the players engaged, keep them motivated and, looking forward to, when the lockdown ends.
So, of course, by becoming an elite champion with Koi Sports, you do get to invest into a grassroots organisation with part of your fee becoming a donation to them. How much of a difference and how proud are you to be able to support a team in that way?
Extremely proud, David. I mean, it's all about enabling grassroots to achieve the next level. And that's why I'm so grateful and honoured to be part of this, the Koi Sports membership. And I feel humbled that we are given an opportunity to invest, some amount into grassroots and help them flourish. One thing that, other than the investment, and I've been having a chat with your team as well, is other than the investment, we are looking at also making our platform available to almost every grassroots out there, and kind of democratizing our platform and, letting anyone and everyone use it, because we feel that technology is a great leveler. It brings us together and it helps, get the kids and players to the next level.
Is that what is next for you then, to make Coach as accessible as possible to everyone?
Yes, for sure.
Amazing, amazing.
That's what I said. We want to democratize our platform.
So finally then, Tariq, how can people reach out and hear more about what you do and the coach format?
They could visit our site at www.coachhub.com, or they could send me an email at tariq@nod.sg. That's tariq@knod.sg.
Well, Tariq,
we'd be more than happy to help set them up.
Well, Tariq, thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing to hear about Coach as a format.
Thank you, David. Thank you a lot for the opportunity and wish you all the very best.
We've just heard Dave Woolridge talking with Tariq Kasim for Coach, based out in Singapore. Tariq's membership support has gone towards Boccia England. To tell us all about the great sport of Boccia, David also caught up with Callie Keatley.
So hi there, I'm Callie. I'm the fundraising manager for Boccia England. Boccia England is the national governing body for the sport of boccia. And boccia is a target ball sport, and it's similar in principle to bowls. So there's a jack and two individuals or pairs or teams aiming to get closest to the jack. It's a sport that's played seated, so it's ideal for wheelchair users. And it was originally designed for people with cerebral palsy, but it's now played by people with a much wider range of disabilities.
So how did... Carry on, my fault.
That's fine, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how did Boccia come about then?
So it's been around as a sport for quite some time. It became a Paralympic sport in 1984, and it's now played in 50 countries across the world. So as an organisation, we've been around just over a decade, and the sport is played in clubs across the country, and there's a talent pathway that we manage, and then there's the world-class programme as well, which Boccia UK manage, and that feeds up to the Paralympics.
That's amazing. So, of course, you're the fundraising manager of this national organisation. How is that kind of national attention for you with Boccia? Is it, I mean, how do you aim towards those areas of communities that want to get involved with the sport?
So, the sport's played in our last pre-pandemic year. We had about 54,000 people that we know of playing Boccia. And a large proportion of that, sort of around half, play at school. So a lot of our work is involved in getting children involved in Boccia, particularly children with special educational needs and disabilities. We have various programmes to kind of work with schools. We also work with a lot of partner organisations as well. So we work with disability organisations, sports clubs, care homes, organisations like that, to help bring Boccia to the people that can really benefit from it, which is, as I said, people with disabilities, and particularly severe disabilities, who can't necessarily play any other sport. And as fundraising manager, I guess my challenge is raising awareness of the sport as much as anything else, because until people know what Boccia is and can see it played and see the benefits, which are absolutely immense, it is quite hard to raise money for it.
Well, I was going to say, I imagine your role is almost twofold, really, not only raising funds, but also educating those about Boccia as a sport and making it accessible.
Yes, absolutely. So, as I say, we work a lot in schools, because I think the idea that if children get involved in Boccia while they're young, they're more likely to continue playing and join a club and go on that way. But as I say, we work a lot with partners, because the partners we work with are often working with the audiences that we're trying to reach. So they might be working with people in a particular location with a particular disability or a range of disabilities. We also work with people with learning disabilities as well. Although that's not a Paralympic classification, people can play in our competition leagues with various different disabilities, as I say. So, yeah, it really is getting it out there. We have a fantastic team of volunteers as well, which work within their local communities all across England, helping to create clubs, set up clubs, and really promote the sport as well all over the place.
And how has the sport been taken once you do raise the attention of it within a certain area, with a certain supportive area? How is that sport taken in? I imagine it's pretty much embraced, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it really is just so fantastic to kind of hear the stories of people who've found Boccia, if you like, and the difference it has made to their lives. And as I say, because it's so accessible, people with really severe disabilities can play where they might not be able to play any other sport. So there's lots of ways the sport can be adapted so that people who don't have, say, any use of their arms or legs can still play, because they have a ramp assistant who faces away from the court and places the ball on the ramp for them. So they can propel it then with a head pointer or a mouth pointer. And there really is no other sport where it is that accessible. So that's what's so brilliant, that people who love sport but haven't been able to engage with it before find Boccia and really, like you say, embrace it, because it's their sport, really.
You and everyone else involved with Boccia at the national body must be so proud to have kind of be leading the way with this sport that is, again, just so accessible.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it really is. As I say, it's heartwarming to hear the stories of the people who've got involved, and that really does make it so worthwhile and rewarding, particularly as fundraising manager, because my job is to get support for the organisation, and then it really helps, because then I can show the people who have supported really how valuable their support is and the impact it's made to individuals and teams all around the country.
Well, I was going to come on to impact of individuals that take up Boccia. I mean, there must be a level of education that because an individual or a group of people have took up Boccia, that you've seen improvement in their confidence in other areas of their lives thanks to being involved with this sport?
Yes, and there are people who say things to us like it's given them a sense of purpose or it's given them goals to work hard for, and it's really nice to hear that. One of the programs we do where we collect a lot of evidence of impact is our Skills Award program. So that's a program in schools for children with special educational needs and disabilities. And we measure the impact against five essential life skills, so communication, responsibility, resilience, innovation, and evaluation. And the children take part over 10 weeks, and they do a self-assessment of their skills, and their teachers do an assessment of their skills at the beginning. Then they take part in these extracurricular sessions, which are all designed to help improve those skills. And then they do another sort of measure at the end. And we've seen across all the skills, around 90% improvement. And that's, the children self-assessing where they've got to and their teachers. And it's skills that they take then beyond the sessions. So they'll tell you how they've applied them in their lessons at school and also in their wider life with their families and their friends and that kind of thing as well. So that's really nice to see people kind of reflecting, for example, on how they react when they lose a game and how, that might have really, really upset them and made them quite angry before, and actually how they've learnt to process that. And again, like I say, they're skills that you can take outside the session. So it's great to have that bank of evidence as well as all the anecdotes and the stories.
I mean, we've heard it all before from other sports where they say that, oh, well, it's more than a sport for the local community or for the people that take part. But with Boccia, I really think that quote is true, that it is more of a sport, so much more, because there's so many different levels to it. And as you just said there, the way that you offer the program and offer the sport to people, you've almost and have almost built a plan around it that, look, we accept this more of a sport and here's why, and this is how we can help.
Yes, I think so. And I think one of the other aspects that does sit around it, and is true of many sports, but particularly Boccia, is that kind of social connection as well. So people join their club, and it might be in some cases that these are people who, their disability is too severe to have a job. They don't particularly go out of the house much. And actually to go to their Boccia club, to meet other people and to have that sense of community. Some people have said to us, for example, that they just forget about their disability when they're playing Boccia because they're with other people that face similar challenges. And it's something that almost is a form of escapism, really.
Wow, the importance of Boccia to these communities is, well, I mean, it's completely self-evident, really, isn't it? That's got to be the biggest success for you and everyone at the national organisation, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. And our strapline is playing Boccia, changing lives. And I think that is what, we aim for with all the programmes we do and all the support that we give to local clubs so that can happen, yes.
Well, I mean, the support that you give with alongside parallel with the sport, I mean, I feel that we've completely covered, and I think absolutely amazing what you do, Callie. But let's wind it back for a moment, because you are a national organisation, however, largely supported by volunteers. And in the sporting world, there are a lot of, let's face it, a lot of organisations out there to be competing with. So for you, is that a challenge to almost get the attention on Boccia and show the world that there is this sport that anyone, literally anyone, can play?
It has been a challenge. I think we've turned a bit of a corner recently, and we've done a lot more, put a lot more emphasis on trying to spread the message of Boccia with different audiences. And that has really helped. I don't think it's so much competition, because I think we do have quite a unique offering. It's just been able to amplify our messages, really, and put our players centre stage, because they can tell the story much better than we can. And I think, as you say, we are massively supported by volunteers. So we are a national organisation, but we're relatively small. We have 9 staff, and half of those are part-time. But we have sort of volunteers that support us nationally. So they we have a really dedicated group of about 150 people who act as volunteer officials at our competitions and classifiers and the referees and that kind of thing. And then we also have so many volunteers out there in the community running their local clubs. We have also a set of regional botcher forums, so that brings together the people who deliver in the clubs, but also schools and other community groups in that area. Anybody can be part of that so that they can share best practice, maybe in reality share equipment and that kind of thing as well, so that we can make the most of the resources that we have.
See, now on this podcast, we've spoken to grassroots organisations before that always speak about how they're a focal point within their community, and they are, but with what Botch has done, in some ways, you've created a sporting world in some ways, that you have that premier level, but also all the way down to grassroots. Not only is it an accessible sport overall, but also it's accessible at every single level of it.
Yes, and I think, like you say, that is quite unique, I think, because we refer, a lot of our volunteers and our players refer to it as the Botcher family, which is really nice. And I think it is a family, but it's also very, very inclusive, so open to everybody. And we really want to get more people involved. So at that local level, we have 60 member clubs across the country, and there are other groups playing Botcher as well that we know of. But we just want to grow that so that we can bring more people into that community. And yeah, it's just such an inclusive, welcoming sport as well. I think that's the kind of main message that we want to put out to anybody who's interested in getting involved in playing, or might be a family member of somebody with a disability who might want to encourage them to take up Botcher.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's almost showing people that there is an option for a completely unique sport, isn't there, really? That's the, to me, in this conversation, what seems key here.
That's it. And I think, I mean, at the competitive level, people must have a disability, and at, you know, the higher, more elite level, there are specific classifications that people's disabilities must fall into. But at the grassroots, recreational, social level, and in some of our competition leagues as well, everyone can play against each other. So we have a pan disability league, but at clubs, you know, family members without a disability can play against their family members who do, and it's a level playing field because of the adaptation of the sport. And that's true in school as well, that children with disabilities can play against their classmates and feel like they're on a level playing field, perhaps for the first time.
It's that social benefit of it, isn't it, really?
That's it, yeah, absolutely.
So, obviously, you're getting investment through Koi Sports. What does that mean to you guys at Botcher, having that support from business, entrepreneurs, clientele through Koi Sports?
It's so valuable to us. So we're really grateful to Tarek at Coach for his support, and that sort of brought us into the Koi Sports network. And just being able to talk to people who perhaps haven't heard of Botcher before, but perhaps might be able to make connections where they are or support us. We have various corporate support opportunities, but also it's the value of that word of mouth as well. And like, as I say, introducing a new sport perhaps to people where they might be able to then connect the dots and link us up with their local community groups or schools or other businesses. It's really valuable. And as I say, we're trying to reach new audiences all the time. So the support of Koi Sports and being brought into that network is really brilliant for us.
Well, it seems that the balls of Botcher are certainly on a roll at the moment. But what are those objectives for the future? Where do you see Botcher in 5 years' time, for example?
So obviously with the rest of the world, we're in a bit of a rebuilding phase at the moment. So we've had just over a year with no face-to-face Botcher, and we've been doing lots and lots of activities to keep people engaged and connected with Botcher and with each other for the last 14 months. But we're excited to say we have gone back to training now from the 17th of May, and we've got a plan to get back to competition over the next year. So in 5 years, I think we want to be back to the point where we're building on the momentum that we had pre-pandemic. We'd had some really, you know, impressive growth over the last couple of years before COVID hit, and we really want to just continue that momentum. So our priority for the next year is rebuilding, I think, getting players existing players back, but once players and volunteers and clubs are back and kind of playing as normal again, it really is to grow the sport. So to have more of a presence on the ground in all corners of the country. So as I say, we have 60 member clubs at the moment, but there are regions where we have a few kind of black hole areas. So it would be good to start to kind of spread Botcher so that anybody who wants to play can easily get to a local club. That's really important to us.
Well, anyone who's listening to this podcast that's maybe an individual, a group of people who want to get involved with Botcher, but also those outlets who maybe want to offer Botcher as an educational tool, as a social tool, how can they get involved with your national organisation?
So the best thing to do, if you want to know more, have a look at our website, which is botcherengland.org.uk, and do get in touch with us. So if you wanted to deliver Botcher, that will be fantastic. We have a member of staff responsible for partnership working, and we can support organisations with training and perhaps with equipment as well. So the best thing to do is to email us at info@botcherengland.org.uk, and we'll make sure that the inquiry goes through to the right place and get back to you as soon as possible.
And Callie, any final thoughts for us about all things Botcher?
I think just look it up. Watch a video on YouTube, and you'll be hooked. I tell you, I didn't know much about the sport myself till I started working for Botcher England, and I am obsessed with it now. So I think just have a look and do get in touch if there's any way you want to get involved or support us as well.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC, or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.